The title of the message this morning is Your Future. Your Future. Someone has said we need to be interested in our futures because that's where we will be spending the rest of our lives. True, isn't it? We better be interested in our futures because that is where we are headed. So, came across this quote. Your future is created by what you do today. Do you realize that our decisions today will impact tomorrow and the months and years to come? So this whole thing about our future is very personal and important to each of us. Now here's another quote. The best way to predict your future is to create it. Abraham Lincoln, it's a great quote. If you want control over your future and you listen to God's leading, He will help you create it going forward. That's the excitement of our relationship with Jesus Himself as we just live and journey through life. But here's the big idea. It's in your notes. Don't let your past define your future. Let God's grace define it. A few weeks back, I shared some of these same thoughts at the Delhi jail. And I told them, the guys and the ladies, don't let your past define your future. Let God's grace, somebody's calling. God says, that's right. That's okay. Aren't you glad you came to church today? You know why our past should not define our future? Because there's examples of grace in the Bible that show us what's possible. Moses, in a fit of anger, murdered an Egyptian. God reworked his heart over 40 years, and he became one of the greatest Old Testament prophets ever. Let me tell you, if God can take a broken life like that, why can't he do it for us? How about Paul, known as Saul? He was approving of Christians being murdered or killed. The guy did not like believers. And then he did a 180 on the road to Damascus when Jesus appeared to him. And he ended up writing most of the New Testament. Don't let your past define your future. You may be sitting here today and you have something in your past that you feel like has disqualified you of a good future. I have felt like that personally at times. And yet we find grace can do a deep work in such a way that we can have a good future. So as we journey through this message, I want you to find yourself. Is there something in your past holding you back from what you believe God can do for you in the future? It's a challenge each of us have to deal with. And so the big idea, hey, don't allow the past mistakes to hold me back. Rather, let grace redefine those mistakes so I can feel better about my future. So TJ read about Jesus going to a seashore, and he called four different people. He called them to himself. And we're going to look at this text, and we're going to apply it to our lives, and we're going to look at how to let God guide your future. All right? That's our mission for the message this morning, number one. The first thing you and I have to do is when we let God guide our future is that you and I must follow Jesus. We must follow Jesus. Let me stop right here. You are following something this morning. Do you know what? Every one of us is following something or someone. It may be different for different people. I mean, we can follow what's on the news. We can follow political positions. We can follow sports. We can follow all kinds of things. But the call is to, when God guides our future, we must follow Jesus. Read with me these two verses in your notes. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. Jesus steps onto the seashore, and there's two guys, Andrew and Simon called Peter, and they're fishing for fish. He steps into their life and he says these words, come, follow me. Do you realize the same three words are directed to each heart here today? Who are you following? What are you following? And when Jesus is at the center, that is the starting point regarding the best future possible for you. Now, the word come, it means this. It means to literally come hither, come here, or come now. Come after me. The word follow, I love this, means this. To return home. Come, return home to me. You know why? He holds the keys to your future. He holds the best version of what's possible tomorrow in his hands. And when we come, follow Jesus, good things can happen. Now, here's a quote. Following Christ is a daily thing, not just a one-time thing. It's so true. When we follow Jesus, when we make a decision to put him at the center of our life, it's a daily deal. It's not just one and done. We have to repeatedly go after it. Here's a great bumper sticker. Do you follow Jesus this close? You know, that'd be a nice one to put on the car, wouldn't it? Some might have it. Huh? Do you follow Jesus this close? I mean, there's a sense of connection that you and I need with Jesus himself to secure and live out the best future possible for us. Here's another quote. When you choose to follow Christ, you choose to be changed. Let me just unpack that a little bit. When you and I give our lives to Christ, change is going to happen. It's for the good. Sometimes we resist it, we're afraid of it, but when we yield to him, good change will come into our life. And so to choose Christ means to change. You know, I read yesterday a quote, and it said this. If your faith costs you nothing to this point, if it's cost you nothing, you haven't had a price to pay, then it's probably a pretty shallow faith. You know why? Change is going to happen when you give your life to Jesus. He's going to come along and he's going to ramp it up and you're going to be a different, better person. So point number one, if you want God to guide your future going forward, follow Jesus. Make that decision. Make him the centerpiece of your life. Know who or what you're following today. Okay, number two. The second truth is this. God will reveal to you his calling on your life. Now, let me stop right here. You may be here today, and maybe you're a young person, and you're trying to figure out your future. It's very normal. High school, college, you say, what does God want me to do with my life? There are so many options. Listen, this message is for you. Or maybe you're here and you're like midlife. And you've been working at a job for 5, 10, 15 years, whatever. And you're saying, wow, it just doesn't seem to be everything I want it to be. And maybe this calling thing, there's something he'll speak into your life today. or maybe you've retired. I've heard people say this, what am I going to do with my time? You know, what does God want me to do? Hey, it's a normal question whether we're young, middle age, or older. We're trying to figure life out. Now, here's the secret. If you make a decision to follow Jesus, you pursue him daily, you read his word, you pray, you listen for his voice, here's what he's going to do. He will reveal his calling for you. Now, in this text, these four guys were fishers of fish. Their occupation was about to change. They were going to become fishers of men. Now, let me just say this. There are times in life where God, even after 5, 10, 15, 20 years, can call you out of an occupation to do something different. We think we get in a job and we might do it forever. And some people ride that out. You know, maybe it's a school teacher and they do 40 years. That maybe that's their calling. That's great. On the other hand, if a heart is restless and you're trying to figure out the future, God can flip the script and lead you into something else if that's his will. How do you know that? You follow him. He shows you his calling for your life. Read with me the next couple of verses in your notes. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Circle the word make in verse 19. It means this. It means to create. It means to produce. It means to author something new in your life. And so he says to Andrew and to Peter, I will create a new calling in your life. I want you to do this. I'm gonna author something new. So in Jeremiah, here's what he says. He says, Lord, I know that your plans are good, to prosper us, to give us a hope, and they're not to harm us. We sometimes get a mistaken notion that God's plan will harm us or it will be inferior to what we think we should do. I've thought that myself. It's shallow thinking. It's poor thinking. When you and I get a hold of God's plan for our lives, let me tell you, it will give us a hope, it'll give us a future, and it's something, he will prosper us in that calling. Always remember, God has our best interests at heart. So in your notes, and I did this up at the jail, I had a list of different things, of occupations. And I'm talking to these inmates, and I said, hey, I want you to think 5 years, 10 years, 15 years out. What could you be doing? And I said, hey, maybe for some of you, you're going to be a pastor. You never know. Look what happened to Moses. How about this? Maybe a youth pastor. Or maybe God will call you to be a missionary. What is that? A person that cares for people in different parts of the world. How about a church planter? God will use you to raise up a new group of people. Maybe you're a craftsman. You're good with your hands. And he will take your skill and ability and use you to be a blessing in a whole new way. Maybe you're an electrician, a carpenter, teacher, a technology person. Maybe you're a social worker and you love people. You love working with the elderly or children. The list goes on and on. But here's the deal. Jesus makes his calling clear when we follow him. If you're in a state of confusion or lacking clarity of what to do next, just spend time with him. Be faithful to listen to his voice, read his word, and this is what will happen. He will show you what your next step is. Maybe you keep going with what you're doing. That's okay. Or maybe he's going to flip the script. Think 5 years, 10 years, 15 years out. What might you be doing that you don't have a clue about today? You know why? God is a God who creates our futures for us if we listen to him and we follow him. Here's a quote. God's call in your life will often disrupt your plans and take you to places you may not want to go. Isn't that true? It's happened to me. He's a disruptor of plans. I was going to be an architect all through high school. Senior year of high school, that was my plan, enrolled in Iowa State. My pastor took me to a Bible school in August before college starts in the fall. And I made an 11th hour decision to go a different direction. That's what I felt God wanted me to do, but it disrupted my plans. You know where God's call when it happens? It's when you're busy doing other things. Think about it. God calls us when we're busy planning something else. So we want to listen for his voice and get in sync with it. Here's another quote. Ask yourself what makes you come alive. This is huge. Everybody here needs to ask yourself that question. What do you get alive about on the inside? That's huge, because it's an indicator of your passion. It's an indicator of how you're wired and how you can be a blessing to other people and something that God wants to create and author in you and through you, and it may be something you really haven't given much time or attention to. Ask yourself, what makes me feel alive? And here's another one. God is calling you to live a life of purpose, to fulfill the unique mission he has given to you. He has a calling on your life, and he stepped into Peter and Andrew and these two other, James, and he called them to do something different and better in their life. All right, so number one, follow Jesus, follow him hard, follow him close. Number two, God will reveal to you your next step, your calling, your sense of mission. And finally, number three, and this is a big one. The third point that we want to talk about is this. Decide what to let go of. Decide what to let go of. Let's read together the first two paragraphs in your notes. At once they left their nets and followed him, James and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The first two guys left their nets. Now, nets are used to catch fish. And as I told the people up at the jail, think of nets in a different way as well. Nets are what hold us back. Nets entangle us, and we don't feel free. Now, the point of the story is this. We have to let go of or deal with the nets that hold us back. You know why? It's called freedom. God wants you and me to be free going forward. Now, for James and Zebedee, James and John, I'll get it straight. It says they left their boats. The point is, when we respond and answer God's call in our life, chances are we have to let go of something in order to lay hold of something new. And we have to make that choice. In Joshua 24, it says, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers serve beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. When they left their nets and their boats, here's what it means. they wouldn't let something hinder them. And it may be a good thing, but it's not the best thing. And so they had to leave their nets, leave their boats, in order to respond to the invitation of the calling from Jesus himself to step into something new. As you think about your life today, ask yourself the question, do you feel like God's calling you to something new? Or maybe it's what you're doing, you just stay in that lane. Or, and the flip side is this, what is it you would have to let go of in order to lay hold of the new calling? Here's a couple quotes. Letting go is not about forgetting. It's about untying yourself from the chains of past pain. There's an amazing amount of truth in this. We will never forget certain things, will we? We just can't. We're human. We can try to minimize our reflection on them. But here's the secret. It's about untying yourself from the chains of past pain. And when we can go to work on that and figure it out, here's what happens. We are free to move toward the new calling and the new goal. Here's another quote. If you carry old bricks from your past relationship to your new one, you will end up building the same house that fell apart before. Isn't that true? Don't carry the old bricks forward. Sometimes we have to let go and change. Here's another quote. Letting go means to come to the realization that some people are part of your history, but not a part of your destiny. I want you to soak that one in. As you think about your life, sometimes we have to let go of people. They're a part of our history, but not necessarily a part of our future destiny. And here's the last one. The truth is, unless you let go, unless you forgive yourself, I like that one. That's how you untie yourself from the past. You receive God's forgiveness, and then you forgive yourself. Unless you forgive the situation, it can get complicated. Unless you realize that the situation is over, you cannot move forward. The kernel point in number three is this. What is it God wants you to untie your heart from in order to be free to move forward into the future so that you can step into his calling? All right, conclusion. Don't let your past define your future. Let God's grace define it. Read with me Psalm 103, 11 and 12 in your notes. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We'll stop with that one. You know, I was up at the jail, and I used this verse up there. And I asked him, I said, how far is the east from the west? And we all can answer that. It's infinity. I don't know. Where does east and west start and finish? I don't know. But the point is this. God can take your past, and he can remove what is holding you back. Maybe it's the pain or the memory of it. It's the hurt. It's the anger toward yourself or the sense of disqualification about the future because of the past. He says, the psalmist says, God as far as the east is from the west can remove it. He can pull it apart. He can make it evaporate. You know why? It gives you freedom. Freedom to follow Jesus and to discover and live out a calling in a new way. Read with me Romans 5:20. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I love this verse. It's a Moses verse. He murdered a guy, took his life. But grace was bigger than that. It abounded higher. It was deeper. It was wider. The point is this. What have you got in your past where it's embarrassing, it's hurtful, whatever it is, understand grace abounds more. Where sin abounded, grace abounded more. And Moses, listen, took advantage of the grace to become one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. Take advantage of the grace card in your life. Because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It's higher, it's deeper, it's wider, it's more powerful. You know why? It sets me free to untie me from what's holding me from the past so I can live a better future going forward. Friends, take advantage of grace. Lean into it. Trust God for it. Believe His word, because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Follow Jesus. Number two, He'll show you His calling wherever you're at in life. He'll show you. Just follow Him. Number three, there'll come a time where He'll show you what is it you need to let go of. You know why? It sets you free for the new calling, the future, which is today, that we're going to spend the rest of our life with going forward. That's what we want to lean into. I have one last slide. Here it is. Step into God's calling on your life. So what does that mean? Simon Peter and Andrew, and then James and John stepped into their calling by following Jesus. And it's a heart instinct where we say, Lord, I want what you want for me. And when you do that, let me tell you, your future will be authored by Christ Himself in a new way in your life, and you'll step into, embrace, discover what it is He wants you to do with your life. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed, just take a few moments. And the first question is Christ seated on the throne room of my heart? It's a basic question. We come back to that. You know, is Jesus at the center of my life? And if He's not, today, this moment, you can say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins, trying to do life my way. I ask you to be Lord and Savior of my life from this moment forward. Here's the second question. As you listen to His voice, He'll show you what He wants you to let go of. And you know, the only way you're going to be able to let go of it is because of grace. Because when we mess up in the past, we hold it against ourselves. And the only way we get free is when we believe His word that grace is more powerful than the mistake or the experience. This moment, I want you to make a decision. Say, Dear God, I am letting go of this because your word says grace is bigger, stronger, and more powerful. Just do it right now.
Father, you're hearing the prayers of your people. And we just thank you for your love and your grace that gives us all hope for tomorrow. And so I just pray a prayer of favor upon everyone listening, whether online or here today, that they'll have some kind of an insight that'll bring clarity to their calling, and that they will step into it, and they will let go of whatever it is they need to let go of in order to lay hold of your best for our lives. May your calling be clear to each of us. And for that, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.